Blog Talk Radio.
Title was Project Paranormal, but we want to delve into
all aspects of paranormal and abnormal, whether it be ghosts, whether it be aliens, Mothman, Jersey Devil. We want to talk about it. If whatever you guys want to discuss or have interest in, go to our Facebook page. It's Facebook Project Paranormal. Just do a search for it. Put in there something that you might like for us to talk about, something you might want to have as a topic. Hell, we'll go for it. You know, we'll give it our best shot.
Yeah, and you know, one of the things that we want our listeners to really understand about this show is for y'all. I mean, we want you to be part of the show. You can call us if you'd like to call in and ask a question or talk about something, you know, something you'd like to hear us talk about. You just give us a call. The number is 323-580-5703. And I think we actually have Sabrina on right now. Let's go straight to it. And if I can get her keyed up here. There we go. Hi, welcome to Project Paranormal.
Hello.
Sabrina, are you there? How you doing?
Can you hear me? Hi, sweetheart. How are you?
I can hear you fine. How are y'all tonight over there? Sabrina is from Jersey. I got that right? Yeah, Jersey.
Yes, you do.
It's very cold up there right now?
Oh, my Lord, we're freezing our butts off. I think it's 18 degrees.
Oh, that sounds perfect. Hi, Sabrina. Hi, Sabrina. I'm Brian.
Hi, Brian.
How are you tonight?
Anybody want to say hi? I'm good.
Aside from being cold, it is.
Aside from being cold, I'm good. What's the temperature there?
I'll say it's like in the 40s where I'm at. Brian, I don't know about where you're at. Brian's in Mississippi, and I'm from Louisiana, so we're actually broadcasting.
Yeah, I'm in north central Mississippi right now. It's probably about 36.
Nice. I always get jealous of Jeremy. He's always rubbing in my face with the weather.
Yeah, stuff like this makes me glad I live in the South. And you know what's funny is you walk around downtown during the day and these people have got these Eskimo jackets on, and here I am walking around in shorts. You know, and they're like, I can't believe you're wearing shorts. And
funny.
I always say, you know, what you going to do when it really gets cold?
I just posted something to that effect last night. I was walking around. It was, I want to say, 31 degrees, and I was walking around with flip-flops on.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah,
no, I have a long mink fur jacket from head to my feet.
Actually, I'm sitting here in the studio with my nice cozy fuzzy slippers on, laid back, drinking a pint.
There you go.
I'm actually sitting in the car with the windows down at the lake. I have kids, and it's one of the best places to go for complete silence.
Absolutely. I hear you.
That goes to show you how Brian's always on the job. I mean, here he is doing a paranormal radio show, and as you all know, he's a Bigfoot enthusiast, and he's hunting for Sasquatch at the same time doing the show. Absolutely.
Awesome.
Yeah, like I said, I'm sitting at the lake about 3 miles in the middle of the woods, and I've got the windows down. I've got one ear on you guys and one ear on what's going on around me at the same time.
So in other words, if you start hearing you scream repeatedly, we know that you just witnessed
you found
something, right?
Hey, I tell you what, if you hear Duel, the banjos playing, call the cops because some redneck done found my ass.
Call 911. Where's he at? I don't know. He's in the woods somewhere.
Squeal, boy.
So, Sabrina, we are honored to have you on tonight. As I told you earlier, this is Brian's first time on the show as the co-host. Hopefully we'll have many, many more. But you are the founder of Wickedly Beautiful Paranormal. I always want to say that back.
No, no, You had it right the first time. Beautifully Wicked Paranormal.
Right. Beautifully Wicked Paranormal. Now,
yes,
I know you've been a paranormal investigator for many years now. I actually met Sabrina probably about 2 years ago. I was part of a TV show, and she was actually one of our fans. And we started talking, and we've been friends ever since. And, you know, we periodically talk about, you know, paranormal things and stuff like that. But, you know, Sabrina, I know you have a background of being a model. You are a professional model. And I know that, you know, you have problems with people taking you serious in the paranormal field because you are a very attractive woman. But, you know, at the same time, me knowing you personally, I also know how very intelligent you are on the paranormal. Mm-hmm. So would you mind, like, just talking to us a little bit about your battles that you had to go through for that because of your background of being a model?
Yeah, absolutely. But real quick, I want you guys to say hello to my partner, Michael Wells. And it's his first time, so let's all say hi to Michael.
Hi, Michael. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm like you. This is my first time. I'm actually hoping they're gentle on me also.
So, Michael, what's it like, Michael, following this young lady around?
It's think of the biggest, baddest roller coaster you ever saw in your life, and then times it by like 100.
I could definitely agree to that.
now, this is
Thank
your wife.
You guys. No,
Sabrina.
No.
Oh, okay, you're not okay.
No, right, he's he would be the co-lead investigator on my team. He's amazing. So.
Oh, okay. All right. I got you.
Yeah, but it's still like that. I feel so bad for him. It's like a crazy roller coaster ride every day.
Hey, let me tell you something. Nope. Anytime a female is in charge, it is a crazy roller coaster ride.
There you got
Thanks.
That right. That's why I banned him from my team.
You banned him from your team?
Tell us a little bit of, you know, what it's like for you, because I know we've had this conversation several times. So, you know, I'd like to let you get it out there and let people see past, you know, the physical image to, you know, what you're really all about.
I definitely deal with it all the time, unfortunately. People see me and automatically sum me up in 2 seconds. You know, look at the pretty, you know, sexy blonde, whatever, Barbie doll. She obviously can't be intelligent. She can't possibly have that much experience. You know, what could she possibly know? She can't hang with the big boys, which I very much can. It is. It's a constant battle, a constant pulling teeth. And I'm very good at what I do. I have more experience than most. I've come face-to-face with real-life demons. It's been interesting. So I just, every day, just get up and do my thing and keep trying to prove to people that, you know, you can look a certain way and it has nothing to do with your work, your experience, your knowledge, what you can do. Because kind of like Jeremy, I deal with more negative entities. I kind of deal with more them and removals and helping people get their lives back.
Right. That's admirable. That's very admirable that you're out there and you're trying to break these stereotypes and break the molds of what people generally envision paranormal researchers to look like or to be like.
Right. And
because
it seems like thank you so much. There tends to be a stereotypical, what you're supposed to look like or be like in this field, and it really aggravates me, and I do. I hear it a lot. I get a lot of guys that will come my way and, you know, send me this and this, start talking about it, and then the next thing you know, it swings left field. So, you know, hey, what are you doing this weekend? No, and I don't even put it out there like that. You know, you want to talk to me about the paranormal, how to kick his butt, how to educate people, help people, I'm all ears, not a problem. But, Yeah, it always tends to go there, and it's very frustrating.
That's awesome. I think that's great.
Well, Sabrina, how did you become interested in the paranormal field? I mean, what started it for you?
Michael just said, it actually became interested in me. I didn't choose it. It chose me. And it chose me from a really young age. And I actually hate going into this because a lot of people, again, stereotype when I'm going to say this. But I've been seeing them, hearing them, feeling them, talking to them since I was three, a little girl running around. I'm seventh generation. Our family, when you're born with it, you're really born with it.
So you're a clairvoyant.
I'm a sensitive, yeah. Yeah, and I can do a lot of things, actually. And it ruined 20 years of my life. 20 years of my life were ruined. At one point I thought I was crazy. Luckily I've been cleared. I'm not crazy, nice and sane. Just like, you know, clients of ours, like I've gone through, I couldn't figure out, so I went through all the medical steps, you know, health-wise, mental-wise, what's going on. And, you know, everything, I'm fine. It turns out it's a spiritual thing, and it's, right, a clairvoyant thing.
The whole crazy thing, you know, it really gets me, because in this day and age, yep. If you show me someone who is sane, then I'll be really worried about them.
Exactly. I mean, but, yeah, even in this day and age, I get more nervous saying that I'm a clairvoyant than I do saying, you know, I'm out there chasing and hunting down demons and spirits. And, yeah, I actually get, still to this day, I get nervous about it. Because people look at you like, yeah, okay. So all about the ghost hunting shows, they're all about watching you guys. But the moment you say, yeah, I can sense them, feel them, see them, whoa, what's wrong with her? Something's got to be wrong upstairs with her. And not at all. And, yeah, they tormented my wife. Tormented it.
I'm envious of that because, you know, I've seen a lot of things in my life, a lot of abnormal things. Spirit-wise, ghost-wise, I have yet to see any. And I'm envious of that because I want to. You know, I, it's not that I don't believe that it exists. I do. I just haven't, you know, seen anything for myself that makes me say, holy cow, you know. On a spiritual level, I've seen, you know, I've seen Sasquatch, I've seen UFOs, and I'm not talking little green men. I'm just talking something in the sky that was unrecognizable as, you know, made by humans.
Yeah,
but
no, I can relate to that because I would love to see what you have. I believe it, but I've never seen it, I've never experienced it, so I absolutely understand what you're saying. As far as being in your shoes, I get what you're saying about my end of it.
Yeah. To me, it's not a fearful topic. It's something that intrigues me and that interests me, and I want to see. I want to know more about. I want to have those experiences, say like you have had, or even Jeremy. You know, because I want to see what it is and try to figure it out.
Right. I mean, I hear you. Honestly, a few things I think I figured out on my own just because of all the experiences I've had, which Jerry and me knows. I mean, that's why I'm actually in the process of writing a book, which I actually only started writing it because I had so many people coming to me saying, you need to write this, you need to write this. And I was like, nobody's going to believe me, nobody's going to believe me. So I finally decided to. And, the experiences are crazy. But I hope you experience it, and I hope it's, you know, hope you don't get harmed or nothing, but I definitely hope you experience it.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. Now, you mentioned earlier something about age. I'm not going to ask you your age. That's rude. But what age bracket do you fall in? I mean, is it young, for experience-wise?
Well, I've been seeing them since I was three, so I've got 20 plus years experience, we'll put it like that.
Okay, so you're about middle age.
Yeah, so I turned 42 this past Friday.
I was asking, I was asking because you were describing some of the issues that you had when you go to these investigations, as far as them not taking you seriously because of your looks, or as you said, being blonde. So I was wondering if you might be young and they might be looking at you like, okay, she's too young to have experienced.
Right.
So yeah, right.
No, actually, like I said, I turned 42 on this past Friday. I was a birthday girl, but I don't look my age at all, but you definitely know I'm not, right, some young, ditzy kid.
Nobody's looking,
nobody talks to me. But, yeah, it's frustrating. There's been days that I've just, slammed my laptop down, done things across the room, gotten enraged, vented to Jeremy and many of my other colleagues and friends, and, it gets very frustrating. It starts off all good, but then immediately it's, hey, what you doing? Or, you had a boyfriend, or you get, it immediately, and it's like, wait a minute, I thought you wanted to talk to me about the paranormal. I thought you had a case you wanted me to help you out on. I thought you wanted this. It just always goes the same route. I didn't need help finding a boyfriend.
I can see where that would be kind of frightening. I mean, you have these guys that call you up claiming paranormal, get you to their house, and they have other ideas. So, I can completely understand that. As far as the frustration goes and, slamming your laptop, Jeremy and I had a discussion similar to this, and what it boils down to is you have to ask yourself, what are you doing this for, and who are you doing this for? If you're doing it for yourself, then, I know it's difficult, but you got to kind of let all that other bull crap just slide off.
Right, actually that's really easy. I have no doubt of why I'm doing this. I'm doing this because, like you said, the fact that people still think in this day and age that people are crazy, I'm doing this first and foremost because I can remember being a little kid. I can remember the terror, the sheer horror and terror I went through.
Right.
And I actually have quite a few kids that parents have come to me because they couldn't understand what was going on with their kids, and I talked to them nextly because these things basically destroyed my life for 20 years and kind of at some points took it over. And basically what happened was about almost 6 years ago, they gave me 6 weeks to live. I got very sick. I went all over Columbia, Penn State Hospital. They sent me to the best of the best. Couldn't figure out what was going on. I went from being a happy, healthy, normal girl to critical, couldn't walk, couldn't talk, didn't know my family, and basically brought in everybody. And a friend of mine had called. I knew what was wrong with me. I could hear them. I could feel them. I could see them. The paranormal events were like nothing anybody experienced. Half the time it was on the verge of, is this even real insane? And a friend of mine had called, and he was clairvoyant, and he knew immediately what was wrong. He's like, listen, this is what's here. This is what's going on. I'm coming after you. I have a friend of mine that can help. And he was right. And I hadn't spoken to him in 10 years, and out of the blue, he just calls. My friend, who's Warren, who's actually the lead investigator of Shroud, who's actually on Facebook as well, they came immediately. They were wonderful, and they found what was there. It was there was a demon there, and he had two little minions. And what happened was a person, which I'm not obviously going to release no names, but there was a female that got very upset with me. I was seeing a man at the time, and she was an ex of his. Well, she went and, from what we gathered, she had the typical black spell put on me, health, wealth, love, and basically just sent this thing after me, and it came with a vengeance, and it came real close to getting what it came for. And we all banded together, and we got rid of him. We banished him. We got rid of the two little dominions he had. But, after that, I got so enraged that I picked myself back up, and I said, you know what? I'm done with you taking over my life. I said, now I'm coming after your ass. And that's what I've been doing.
That's very interesting. That's an interesting story. There's a friend of mine that I've spoke to on a few occasions. I'll try to through Jeremy or through Facebook try to get you in touch with him. You might know him. His name is Chip Coffee.
Yeah.
And he's been through some similar situations. But I'll get that information to you.
That'd be awesome.
And maybe he could help guide you and give you some pointers.
Yes, that would be amazing. Like I said, the story I'm putting together, like I said, I don't know if people are going to believe me. I'm really not worried if they are. But if I can help out one other person, because to me, they're bullies. That's all they are. They're just bullies.
So,
and if they find...
Your paranormal group, based on what you're saying, do you go to try to prove the existence of ghosts, or do you go... when someone calls in and says, hey, there's something really, really bad going on here, I mean, do you go to investigate and prove the existence of ghosts, or are you going in there strictly to kick ass and take names?
Basically, to kick ass and take names. But I do investigate. I do go places to prove if something's there, something's not there. I get a lot of phone calls. Because, and I don't like saying this word, but it turns out, and again, forgive me, but it turns out that my specialty is the darker energies. I can walk anywhere, and if I walk in and there's anything dark, malevolent, demonic, I'm going to know immediately. They know I'm there. I know they're there.
Right. Right. Some of the listeners might find that a little hard to believe, But it is
right.
True. I mean, you can pick up on that. I myself am an empath. I pick up on the feelings of other people
right.
around me. A lot of times it's really difficult because I can't go in real crowded areas because it's just real overwhelming.
Yeah.
So I can totally understand what you're talking about.
Yeah, actually, I'm empathic, and I just turned to Michael. I said, "Too soon, I'm talking about." Because I've been places that I have freaked out, and he's like, "You all right with me?" And I'm like, "You don't understand. Like, there's too much emotion going on here. Like, I got to leave. I got to back out. I know exactly what you're talking about, hon. Exactly."
Right.
Yeah, I mean, my father, he could astro plane. As a matter of fact, that's will also be along with another book. That's why my father actually drank, because he couldn't control it. And back in the 60s and 70s, it really wasn't talked about that much. And my grandmother actually stumbled upon a little book that she found, and she brought it home to my mother, and she's like, "I think this is what's going on with Richard," who was my father. And, my father would actually see events coming. He'd go, and he had a really hard, he struggled greatly with it. And so far, that's happened to me 5 times. And I have a sister that's happened to as well 4 times. So that's a unique experience.
I mean, that's great that you're doing this and getting all this out there. You know, a lot of people, for lack of better terminology, live inside a little box, and they're closed-minded. They don't realize there is more to this world than you can possibly even imagine. There's things that are going on on the fringes of reality that we in our closed-off little world, our closed-off minds. It's not so much that we don't see it. We don't want to see it. We choose not to.
Right. I mean, I have a terminology that I use that people live their lives looking through a tunnel, not knowing what's actually around them. I mean, spirits are everywhere. And I guess that in a way that is a defense mechanism because, I mean, let's face it, if people truly knew what was all out there? I mean, could you imagine the chaos that would go on?
Oh my God, are you kidding? I have a saying all the time. People, and I'm like, listen, I'm like, the boogeyman's real, believe me, because I've met him. And, people ain't got a clue what's really
right
there.
It's controlled chaos, whether it be by the government, whether it be by the Vatican. You know, the less we know, the better we can get along on with our lives. I mean, it's the same like me and you talked, Jeremy, about Sasquatch. You know,
right.
People, you know, they sit at home on their couches. Well, there's no such thing as Sasquatch. Okay, have you ever been out in the woods in the middle of the night? Have you ever went looking It's the same with paranormal. You know, people are like, oh, I don't believe in this, all this demon stuff. Have you ever opened yourself up to experience it or to seek it or to find out if there is any truth about it? No. Well, then shut up, you know?
Exactly. And my next question is actually for Mike, right? That's his name, Mike. How did you get into the paranormal? Was it something that you've always been interested in, or is this all new to you, or, you know, what's your take on it?
Yeah, it's really something that's all very new to me. I've been interested in it for a long time.
I'm sorry, Mike. I think we're having some difficulty.
Yeah, we can't hear y'all. It is like it's echoey.
How is that better?
Yeah, that's much
is
better.
Is that better?
Yes, that's perfect.
All right. Well, what I was really saying is it's. No, I've never really had anything that I could say was a paranormal experience, but I've been interested in it for a very long time, because I always just knew there was other things that were going on that really couldn't be explained by what was going on in a normal world, and just always knew that there was something else happening.
Right.
So you have you basically have a calling to it, is what you're saying. A calling, you know, you're intrigued and you have a calling that you want to.
Yeah, that would be yes, that would be the right way to explain it. That would be the right way to phrase it, without a doubt.
I understand that. I admire people who strive for knowledge.
Yes, that's exactly what it is.
Do you approach it from a spiritual standpoint, a scientific standpoint, or from a skeptical standpoint?
It's a quest for knowledge. There's definitely a strong spiritual aspect of it for me, too. I mean, it's a scientific and spiritual, clearly.
Right. My thing that I always tell people is when you get into the paranormal, because me and Sabrina had this conversation before too. I mean, you have so many groups out there nowadays where it's really gotten bad. Knowledge is power. I mean, if you're going to do this stuff and especially focus more on the darker entities that's out there, knowledge is power, and that
you
end up saving your life.
You better know what the hell you're dealing with and what you're about to wake up.
Right.
Absolutely. Yeah, well, I'm
sorry?
I was just saying I feel very safe in the fact that I think I got a great teacher to show me how to stay safe in all of this.
That's right. You know, what it boils down to nowadays is you get all these, you know, young and this is not to label a specific age, because I know there's a lot of intelligent teenagers, but you get most of these young teenagers, they watch these TV shows and think, oh, that's cool, I want to go do that, I want to go in this old abandoned building and see what I can dredge up. And then when they do dredge something up, they have no idea how to deal with it, handle it, or control it.
Yeah, it's a good way to get yourself in a lot of trouble, and it's typical teenage behavior, just going out and start messing around with things that you don't know what you're dealing with.
Right, and if you don't do the research, then you're literally playing with a time bomb.
But here, see, this is the thing now, and most people don't realize it, and I know that me and Michael talked about this, and me and Jeremy have talked about this. You go to YouTube and you see all these kids, and listen, kids, that's what they're supposed to do. They're supposed to get in trouble. They're supposed to do things they're not supposed to, uneducated. And let me tell you, the spirit world waits. It waits for them to do this. Demonics wait for people to do this. Because the more amateurs and the more people you have doing this stuff, not knowing what they're doing, the more doors they're opening, the more they're allowed, the more that can come in, and they're coming in by the thousands.
Well, I blame it on television, to be honest with you, because television has glamorized it and made it so that these people who are going out there doing it are like movie stars, you know. They're famous, they're popular, you know, they have everything going on that a movie star would. And it's glamorized it so much that these young impressionable teenagers see this and think, "Oh man, I can go out there and I can do that." You know, without fully grasping.
You're absolutely right. And it's nothing like reality.
Exactly.
No, it's not. And Michael, I say this to you, you do have a good teacher, you know, somebody to teach you, because she has learned from the best, and yes, I give myself credit for that.
I've
taught her everything she knows.
I'll give you the credit for that. There you go. You know I love
that's
you.
That's right.
Hey, I wouldn't be mentioning that too loud. We are on live air.
My
head's rolling. I can't get out of the room.
Yeah, let me tell you something. Jeremy's one of the best, and I've seen a lot, and I've met a lot, and Jeremy, hands down, is one of the best I've ever seen and ever talked to. Absolutely.
Oh,
he's amazing.
I have a lot of respect and admiration for what Jeremy does. I actually started off analyzing some of their videos and photographs and the information they would collect, and that's where Jeremy and I came in contact with each other, and it grew from there, and now we're doing this, and soon we're going to take it to a whole different level.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean
he's.
One of the things that I really find interesting about Brian was. Brian would look at something and he would, you know, give you the skeptical side of things. And he's like, "Well, Jeremy, have you ever thought that it could be this?" And I would say, "Well, yeah, Brian, I did. But here's the situation." And, you know, we kind of narrow it down to exactly what's going on. Because, let's face it, by just looking at a photograph, you really don't get the whole picture of what's going
on.
Moment.
I'll be the first to admit, you know, I'm not there. All I have is this one little snippet of video or this one little photograph. So I have to go by what's presented to me and give him that viewpoint, because that's the same viewpoint that anyone else, Joe Public, that sees it, that's what they're going to have too. They're going to be like, "Well, this is just a photograph." I'm very open-minded about it, but I try to also give him what I think others will be giving him when they see it.
Yeah, no, exactly. And, yeah, that's the way it needs to be. I mean, all aspects. I mean, even I have friends of mine that are too hard-born skeptics, and they love me. They know I'm real. They know my experiences are real. My whole doctor's office, like, that's a whole nother story when I go up in there. And I tell them, skeptics, they're great. It's great to be skeptical. I'll be the first one to be like, "Yeah, okay, come on, sure. Okay, maybe it's a light, maybe it's a win." You know, even with other sensitives, I'm like, "Yeah, okay." And I know that sounds terrible, but listen, I'm the same way too. Just because I've seen what I've seen, lived through what I lived through, I'm the same way. So I definitely get what you're saying.
Right. We had a broadcast not too long ago, Jeremy and I, where we discussed the fact that technology still has not caught up with paranormal research. You know, I think we might get lucky once in a while and catch a flash or an image of something there, but I believe these beings exist on a plane, a level, a spectrum that we still to this day are not yet able to capture on camera or see, or you know, we might have these fleeting little glimpses here and there, but as far as like full on. There it is. I think we haven't reached that level yet with our technology.
I always say, I mean, you could have all the equipment in the world, but if you do not have that gut instinct, all that equipment is really useless. You know, you have to have it within yourself.
That's right. I mean, wouldn't it be amazing? wouldn't it be amazing one day if we did reach that level of technology and we were all able to see what is truly around us and the whole world looked like the movie Ghost or the movie, what's that M. Night Shyamalan movie where a little boy sees the dead people? What if it comes to that level one day where we put on these goggles or something and all around us there's just these dead people walking everywhere, these spirits,
well,
you know, that have been there all along.
Personally, I think that's a good idea, but there would be a huge backlash from that. I mean, you know, you have to think about control, you know, how Brian was talking about the government, you know, they it's a way to control people, you know, by, you know, not coming out and saying UFOs are real, for an example. I mean, could you imagine what that would do if that actually comes to the forefront and the world known that, you know, ghosts are real? I mean, I think
That's right. I mean, think about society as a whole. If people were instantly, if tomorrow people were made aware that there's spirits all around them at all times, I mean, it would completely change the things that you do. You wouldn't get naked anymore, you know, because you'd always be, you know. It would completely change how you think, how you do things. And right now, the powers that be want to keep everything on an even, straight, flat plane.
Yep, the blind is still half down over the eyes. Absolutely.
Yeah, it's just
right. It's like when you put blinders on the horse. You know, it's the same principle. It's the same concept. You know, and one day, you know, I'm not saying tomorrow. I'm not saying next year, but one day in the existence of humanity, those blinders will be removed.
Absolutely,
I truly believe that too. I mean. Yeah, I think sooner or later technology will advance itself to that state. You know, I mean, I kind of dread when that day comes because of the simple fact that I think people will be panicking. But also you have to think about the good side of it. I mean, what it does for religion. You know, people always wonder, you know, when you die, is that it? Is there actually life after death? And to me personally, which, I mean, I know the truth, but let's just say I was an ordinary Joe, and it was proven to me that spirits do exist, okay? So then I'm like, okay, well, I better live my life right because there is life after death, you know? So in my eyes, that just clarifies that, you know, my faith in God, you know, and angels and demons and things like that. So, I mean, there for the church and for religion, I think it would kind of be a good thing. But for the general public, like Brian says, I mean, people will be scared to death to know this, that, like you said, you wouldn't want to get naked, you know, because you're afraid you're going to have all these spirits looking at you and laughing at you, you know. I mean, so, you know.
Yeah, that's the most simplistic form of it, but I mean the concept is still there. You know, as far as death goes, I look at it like this. You know, we're all born to die. There's got to be a reason for it. We're all made up of energy. Energy never dies; it just takes a new form.
Exactly.
Yep.
You know, in a time, though, where religion is becoming, you know, especially Christianity, is kind of becoming sacrilegious. I mean, it's getting to where even the Bible says in the end times, you know, Christianity will be frowned upon. And for me personally, I mean, I know it's been going on for thousands and thousands of years, but you just look at what's going on right here in America. I mean, you know, it's kind of like now that Christianity is kind of frowned upon, and it really saddens me to see that because
what most people don't realize, and they're not going to put this down in the history books. What most people don't realize is the same things that are going on today with Christianity and religion were going on way back when the Bible was written too. You know, it's kind of like when you get a fortune cookie at the Chinese restaurant. It's very generalized. You know, and then there's also the theory that the whole book of Revelations was I can't think of the right word, but basically it's where they take they're trying to say something else in secret code about the government at that time, but they're wording it so that they don't get in trouble.
Right.
Well, think about
you would be killed.
Right.
Yeah, but think about it this way. It does go back to that time, and you have to look at it this way. When you had Pontius Pilate, you had the Romans, they all, that's how they controlled the population. They controlled it through religion.
They, right, right,
and
because they tried to say
that
they...
That was their ultimate goal, right,
yeah,
to
because,
keep
you know,
the people scared.
That's right, that's
scared,
right. Whole,
and so it makes sense that there were these hidden things in there about the government, about reality.
That's right.
Because it was all... It's all. That's how it is. It's control. It's secrecies. It's the truth. It's not. It's
the,
that's what
the,
it's all
the,
about.
The beast that's mentioned is in reference to the Roman emperor at that time.
Yeah, Julius.
The mark
Caesar.
Of the beast. Right. The mark of the beast was the coin. I mean, it's all there. You know, if people just take the time to research all this, you know, you could find all this information out.
Yep, no, absolutely, yeah. I get frustrated as well. I'm like, if you would just pick up, you're right, educate. That's my other line. Educate yourself first. Educate, educate,
yeah.
And then come back to the problem. We'll debate this, we'll talk. But, right, educate yourself, please, first. I know I have spent many years educating myself. You know what I mean? Throwing the blonde hair up, putting the sweats on, and just getting down to it, researching, learning, you know, like, and, yeah, educate yourself. People just don't have a clue what's out there and around them. Not a clue. It amazes me.
Well, the one thing,
Brandon,
the one thing
got...
that, you know, I'm sorry?
Go ahead, Brian. Go ahead.
The one thing that I try to stress to people, you know, when they try to bring the Bible into a situation, I try to stress this. Just remember that the Bible was written by man. You know, they learned,
right.
You know, it wasn't written by God. It's not like the Ten Commandments where it came down on stone. It was written by man. Man is the most flawed being on this planet.
Yep.
Prone
hands
to
down.
Exaggeration, misinterpretation, and also, you know, just like any other author, they're going to try to inflict their own views into what they're writing.
Yes. Yeah, right, and that was the other point, right? I couldn't think to try and say it at that time, but yeah, that's also right. Their views, they're pushing it, right. That's what it all comes down to. And that's
so,
what it was.
I mean, you have Just like anything else created by man, you have to look at it with a very, very, very open mind.
Yep. I think there's a lot of secrets and things hidden there, here, there, and everywhere. I think there's amazing and beautiful things that we haven't even found out yet that would just blow people's minds. So.
I agree 100%. You know? There's more out there that, you know, in my opinion, we haven't even scratched the surface.
Yeah. So hopefully, you know, the next generation will be even more eager and knowledge hungry than we are, and they'll find it.
Well, we got about 12 minutes left to bring us. So tell us a little bit about some of the, you know, investigations that you got coming up in the near future, and you know, tell us some of the history of some of the places. I know you mentioned earlier that you had two pretty big investigations coming up. So do you mind sharing those with us?
Sure. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, actually, I got a phone call from a very good friend of mine, and there's a quite famous bar actually in Gloucester, New Jersey. And apparently two ladies purchased it about a year ago. The building's been there 100-plus years. And these two women have purchased it for the past year. And apparently the paranormal activity is getting worse and worse. In the beginning was little things, you know, something missing here, something missing there. But now they actually have video, you know, patrons in the bar, and everybody's having a good time. And you can actually see, you know, the typical... the glass gets slid down off, you know, the track, and, like, very angrily getting thrown at a bartender. There's actually two bartenders, and they got hit, and they got hurt quite well. They got cut and stuff. They're coming down. They're flipping all the chairs, you know, at night, at the end of a bar, you put the stools up, put the chairs up. Well, they're coming down the next day and opening up, and the chairs and the stools, they're actually stacked. In patterns, they're stacked up high, they're all over the place, the tables are flipped. So they're getting very nervous. They're scared to go in there. There's a lot more forceful activity, and the women are not sure if they want to keep the bar. So they were speaking to a friend of mine and said, we really need somebody to come in, tell us what's here, what's going on, and if we can remove it, remove it. And he said, well, I have an amazing friend that's very experienced in this, and if anybody can help you, she can, and meaning me. So we're looking forward to that. And it's on Owen's Five, it's called the Side Check Bar in Garfield, New Jersey. The other investigation I have coming up is a private residence, and the woman's having full apparitions sitting on the couch. There's a little boy there that's always accompanied with a really old, old man in a dark suit, which for me creeps me out because, you know, history seems to repeat itself when it comes to little kids and creepy old men. It usually turns out not to be the grandchild and the grandfather, if you know what I'm saying, Jeremy. More of a dark thing hidden in there.
I don't know what it is about spirit children, but yeah. You seem to run across them all the time. I mean, I've been punching a FaceTime one. So, you know, especially me and Chris, we've done several investigations together, and it seems like there's always a spirit child. We've done probably 20-plus investigations in the past year, and I would say almost a third, if not half of those, has involved a child spirit. So, you know, I find that interesting. I mean, you know, I always say that even though individual hauntings are different, they still have the same undertone to them. You know,
I have a theory on that. If I could share.
Sure.
My concern is that it's not really a child, but a demonic entity preying on our weakness and our sorrow. For children.
Exactly. And that is what they do.
Right. And that's what I was saying. Yeah, I mean, come on, the child accompanied by the creepy old man in the dark, you know, the black suit. And I mean, yeah, when I heard, I just started shaking my head. I'm like, well, we know what we're going to find.
I'm
actually more concerned about the resident haunting than I am the bar haunting. Just because of, right, the child, you know, apparition, the old man, so I'm a little bit more,
you know,
I'm nervous about that.
Yeah, we have to keep in mind that these evil spirits are tricksters.
Oh, yeah.
Their number one goal is to make you believe they don't exist. I mean, that is their number one priority. Demons do not like to be revealed. They don't, you know, they try to hide their identity, and they will trick you.
If they can draw you in by betraying themselves as an innocent child, then I have no doubt that they will.
And you see, that's one thing that always people should be mindful about. And you see, too, this kind of reflects back to, you know, all these paranormal groups popping up when kids don't really understand what's going on. See, has to be invited in. And by portraying itself as an innocent child is a weapon that they use for you to be able to invite them in. You know,
interesting. Here's something that I can relate to as far as that goes. You know, I think it's the same as me when I go out into the wilderness. You have to treat every spirit as you would a wild animal. You don't know if it's really gentle or if it's going to turn on you in an instant.
I like that analogy. You're right. That would be a perfect way to describe it. You just don't know.
Yeah,
you know,
that,
if you go in and instantly, it's a cute little kid. You know, if you go in and instantly, it's a cute little kid. You know, let's throw it a ball. You know, you're setting yourself up.
I agree with you. Because I've seen those cute little children. I actually had a little girl attached to a woman, and she was convinced, this little girl died in the classroom across the street. She was lost, this and this, and I knew immediately what this thing was. And I was laughing because I'm like, you know, what's her name? She's like, her name's Emily. And I turn around and I'm like, what is it with all these? You ever notice they all have the basic names and Emily is one of the names they always use?
It wants to feed on your pity. It wants to feed on your fear. And it wants to feed on your sorrow.
Well, let me tell you, I was outside with this woman. She's talking. And every time – this little demonic little thing would kick its leg. The woman unconsciously didn't realize she would kick her leg the same time, the same speed as the spirit I could see standing next to her. And when she hadn't told anybody that she knew the spirit, like, held onto the back of her shirt, and I said to her, I'm like, she's holding onto the back of your shirt. I said, I don't know if you realize it, but, I mean, she kicks, you kick. Well, the woman tarted, like, freaked out and, you know, left. But she had came back another time later on, didn't know it was home, and this little Emily showed her true colors, and she went from being this little cute 18th century looking, you know, like, which, you know, you can't get hit by a car back then. That was one of my valid points for this woman, but she didn't want to hear it. She turned into what she really was, which was probably about an 8-foot, nice, nasty, ugly, red-eyed, teacher-smelling demon. And she's still with her to this day. The lady would not let me remove her. So,
and that happens a lot. I mean,
yeah,
well,
she would not let me
remove
her.
You have to think of it. You have to think of these demons as a leech. You know, very
right.
Similar in aspects to an abusive husband. You know, these women, even though they're getting abused, they stay there. They don't want it to
they
end.
They stay. Right. No, I agree with you. Absolutely. And, but yeah, and, that's actually we just did a pretty decent sized hotel, which, I don't want to release the name, obviously, because of, you know, certain rights and stuff, but it's a pretty big chain up here. And, we actually did an investigation there, and it's amazing how I couldn't believe how haunted it was. And actually, when you were talking about, you know, the getting naked thing and, you know, spirits, we were actually laughing, smiling at each other because I would stay there. It's a very beautiful place, and every time I would get undressed or go to get in the shower, I would notice, like, if a man was kind of, like, looking around the corner real quick and backing up. So I kept seeing this. Well, finally, the girls downstairs called my room and they said, you got to come down. He's really upset tonight. He's ticked off. So I grabbed my little gear. I went downstairs and it was unbelievable the amount of activity in this place. And I have amazing EVPs, pictures, videos, and you can see full operations in these videos. And come to find out that they built this beautiful new place on top of a cemetery and they just removed the headstones. And because I couldn't understand why it was so haunted, it was so new. And, yeah, it's on top of a cemetery. So it makes for an interesting day.
That's some great subjects for future shows, future broadcasts. Why
yeah.
is it when these graves are disturbed, activity happens? Why is it when, you know, a house is renovated, activity happens? That's
right.
Great subjects for a future show. And I hope I can speak for Jeremy. I'd love to get you back on
Anytime. I'm always here.
Most definitely. All right, guys, we got about 2 minutes left, so let's go ahead and start wrapping this up. Sabrina, if people want to get in touch with you, they can go to your Facebook page, or is there any other kind of way to get contact you?
As of right now, they can actually just go to my Facebook because we're actually in the process finishing up our new webpage and for our actual website, and we're also going to be finishing up a Facebook page for our team, and that'll be done within the next week or two. So if you want to, you can actually just go to Facebook, and it's Sabrina Gillette, just like the razors, G-I-L-L-E-T-T-E, and you can go there and get a hold of me. Jersey Shore or New Jersey, you could just go in and find me to search it.
And we'll post the link, of course, to your Facebook group as well.
Okay, awesome. Thank you.
And
yeah, so just look for a lot of great stuff.
It's been a pleasure having you on.
It's always a pleasure.
We're gonna try to get you on here in the next, you know, couple of weeks or so. We'll get you on and talk about, you know, what me and what Brian just mentioned. I think that's a good idea for our future show. So with that being said, we'll say good night, and we hope that you tune in next week. As always,
be
safe,
safe
and happy
take care.
You too.
All right,
thank
until
you so
next
much,
week,
guys.
We'll be here at the same bat time at the same bat place.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
You know who Chip Coffee is?